Hello, everybody. Hello, this is Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 125A, and we're on page 488 of the book, and we've been dealing with some very interesting material, talking about the triangles through which the rays express, and I've been trying to deal with the most enigmatical statement that it will be apparent how necessary it is to know which of the triangles is the focal point of transmission, because in this way it will be discovered which ray energy is in major or minor expression. And I've offered a number of possible explanations for that, but perhaps as many questions as there may be explanations. Now we will go on, and we're just about getting to the place where the large chart is going to be shown. But before that, Leo, as we have seen, is, for instance, a most important transmitting agent in the present world crisis. This means, therefore, that Ray 1 and 5 are exceedingly active. Well, here, we are not talking about a triangle, but a constellation in two triangles, namely Aries, Leo, Capricorn, Ray 1, and Leo, Sagittarius, Aquarius, Ray 5. Okay. So, you know, trying to get to the bottom of what the Tibetan meant by that enigmatical phrase, there's no question that through every, that a ray works through three constellations, and through one of them it works most and is transmitted in a major way. But there we're not talking about a triangle, we're talking about a constellation. Secondly, it will mean that the sun's influence is potent both exoterically and esoterically, since the sign or constellation is potent, the ruler is also potent. It means also that the planets which are related to these two rays will be very active. And therefore, Pluto, Ray 1, he's leaving out Vulcan, and Venus, Ray 5, are dominant in producing world results. I think he gives the scheme by which he can interpret here, are dominant in producing world results. I cite this as an instance of the interrelation of planets, constellations, and rays. So if a sign is very, very active, then the rays passing through that sign are very active. If a sign or constellation is prominent, then the rays passing through that sign or constellation are prominent, and so are the ruling planets of those rays, the ray rulers. So we find that Leo is prominent in the world today in many triangles. It is a stage of strong individuation. Many personalities are coming to the fore, and there is much selfishness in the personal sense, but of course this is somewhat counteracted by the growing influence of Aquarius, the growing group influence of Aquarius, and especially in entering that constellation or sign, really, through the 30 degree to 20 degree decanate, Venus will be prominent with its fifth and second rays. And also for disciples and aspirants, Jupiter giving the second ray, beneficence of group consciousness, will also be prominent, counteracting some of the Leonian selfishness. So this is a good example of how to do this. Now it depends on how many other signs we think are strong. If Scorpio is strong, then Scorpio is only appearing in one ray triangle. If Scorpio is strong, then the fourth ray is strong. Then Mars and, well, let's just say Mars is strong. Ray six will be strong. And because ray six is strong, then the rulers, Mars and Neptune, will be strong. That sort of thing. So what we have to determine, we have to determine the strongest signs at the moment, for then certain rays which the signs or constellations transmit will be strong, and the planets connected with those rays will be strong. So Leo, as he said, brings in the first and fifth ray. These will be strong. And Pluto, he didn't mention Vulcan, but anyway, Pluto, the destroyer, and Venus, the intellect and the influence of the soul towards illumination, will be strong. And yeah, that's how it goes. A close study of the world crisis will indicate the plausibility of the premise as to the activity of Leo as a major force. Dictators were appearing, are appearing. We had at that time a prominent dictator in Italy, in Germany. We had a strong leaders in the West, but I was thinking that Franklin Roosevelt actually was an Aquarian with Virgo rising, quite a different energy. Churchill, I wonder, did he have the moon in Leo? I have to check that. I could quite quickly check that. I think if it will just appear. Yes, it did. We've just moved into Sagittarius. The moon has just moved into Sagittarius. Open, and this is all about famous people. And famous and cleaner. All right. So Churchill, Winston, final. Virgo rising, all right, but indeed the moon in the last degree of Leo. You see it here, don't you? And that's the esoteric ruler of his ascendant. So a strong Vulcan will be there, but also the artistic indications of Neptune. Difficult sometimes to find the charts of leaders. Uranus as well, powerfully present in Leo, especially for a first ray type. Well, we're not into the analysis of his chart right now, but there's a Pluto opposition to Mercury, and Mercury is one of the rulers of the ascendant. And a square, well, not really a square. A square, yes, between Mercury and Uranus, giving some of the outrageous statements that he made, which were so shocking and so delightful at the same time. So a plausibility of the premise as to the activity of Leo as a major force. Let's call it the emergence of integrated personalities, some of them selfishly integrated. If you've, you know, taken a look at Mussolini's posturing, here's a man born with the sun in Leo and Scorpio rising, and we have Hitler, who had Leo strong in his chart and an elevated Saturn in Leo, giving the Shambhala influence, as I have noticed, but he did invert that. Others on the world stage who assume that dictatorial role. Lately, there's been a fall of dictators in the Middle East. Of course, it could be that they would be replaced by dictators equally repugnant, representing some other ideology. Could be. But it's an Aquarian movement to bring down the dictators and to let the people speak, as they have been in Egypt. They've been amassing and making their influence felt, and this is not only the influence of Cancer for the mass consciousness, but there's some intelligence in it, and Aquarius is involved, the large group speaking against the self-reinforcing dictator. So we are in the stage of the emergence from the mass of the individual. We're in the stage of the emergence from the individual of the initiates of the first degree. And probably the emergence from the probationary initiates of truly illumined human beings using the Leo energy. It is a strong force at this time, and he told us how to interpret first the sign, then the rays which pass through the sign or the constellation, ray 1, ray 5, in this case Leo, and then the planets which deliver those rays, then the planets which deliver the rays. That's, now, of course, the interesting thing is Leo is very prominent, but more of Ray 1 goes through Aries than any other sign. Now, the question is, which is more powerful at the present time, Leo or Aries? Aries is impulsing the New Age in that triangle along with Leo. If it had been Aries, we would have first the sign, Aries, then the rays which pass through the sign or constellation, which would be ray 1 and ray 7, then the planets which deliver the rays. In this case, Pluto, for Ray 1, unless we call it Vulcan, and Uranus. So pretty drastic energies there passing through Aries. I think we see how we do this. If the sign under consideration had been Aries, then we do it in the following way. And we can do this for every constellation. Now, not all constellations are equally prominent at this particular time. Prominent at this time in human history. But we can see how the influence would work. Now, DK is going to tell us which rays reach humanity predominantly through which signs, but it doesn't mean that the sign is prominent. If we see which ray will reach humanity via a certain sign, or say mostly via a certain sign, it does not tell us whether the sign is prominent. Now, if we look at this, Ray 1 through Aries, Aries is pretty prominent. Ray 2 through Virgo, certainly among disciples, Virgo is prominent. Ray 3 through Cancer for the mass, But Capricorn, Ray 3 for Capricorn for the disciples is Cancer prominent? Well, the mass consciousness is very strong. Scorpio is prominent for Ray 4. Ray 4 is prominent through Scorpio. It is a time of battle and of conflict. Ray 5 is presently passing through Leo, but is going to switch to Aquarius before long. Will Aquarius be prominent? Yes. Ray 6 through Sagittarius. Sagittarius is not especially prominent, except among disciples, perhaps. And to the extent that there are integrating personalities, they will have one-pointed desires. So Leo and Sagittarius go together in that respect. But the sign Sagittarius is not necessarily one of the most prominent signs at this time, thus I think, but, you know, the text coming up could correct that view. And what about Ray 7? Predominantly through Capricorn, is Capricorn prominent? Yes. Capricorn is giving personality ambition to those who are selfishly integrated, and the urge toward more spiritual attainment and initiation for those who have reversed the wheel or are reversing the wheel. It seems like all the rays passing through the signs with which they are presently most affiliated or have the strongest passage, that all the rays are passing through fairly prominent signs. We could probably hierarchicalize these signs in terms of prominence. But, you know, Leo was mentioned only in relation to Ray 5. It is a prominent sign. And there may be other signs that are prominent today through which the ray is only passing secondarily. For instance, the first ray passes in a way secondarily through Leo. First and fifth ray. It passes more strongly through Aries. The question is, which of those signs is more prominent, dominating in our present world? We have right now, in this stage of history, this period, we have Uranus and Aries, and we are having all kinds of revolutions and overthrows. So, at least for this seventh ray period, when Uranus is in the sign Aries, that first ray combination of energies will be very, very potent. And Uranus and Pluto will be very potent. Uranus even has some first ray in it, strong first ray, though more recessed perhaps, and perhaps not responding as strongly now as it will in a more first ray period, or a time when humanity is more developed. Earlier in this treatise, I gave you the relation between the rays and the constellations, okay, and stated that each of the seven rays expresses itself through the medium of three constellations or through a triangle of energies. I might have forgotten that he's done that already. And so when I was talking about these things, it's not necessarily new material. Hopefully not. In fact, hopefully one has in mind the rays and the constellations. Each of the seven rays expressed itself through the medium of three constellations or through a triangle of energies. The relation is the basis. This relation is the basis of the entire science of triangles and therefore of astrology itself. This relation, does he mean the relation of the rays to constellations through which a ray passes? Let's look at that again. This relation, the relation between the rays and the constellations, well, that is what he's talking about. This relation between the rays and the constellations is apparently the basis of the entire science of triangles. It does unite those two important factors, one as a demonstration of a second ray way of learning and of seeing relationships in cosmos. That's the science of the seven rays. And then the other astrology, demonstrating a third-ray perspective and a third-ray understanding. This relation is the basis of the entire science of triangles and therefore astrology itself. It is also related to the rays, the constellations, the ruling planets, and our Earth in a great synthesis of energies. Okay, so we have some very, very fundamental triangles here. We'll see them in just a moment, of course. There they are. And I'll have to adjust them so they look a little better. I'll do that shortly. It is also related to the rays. The relation is related to the rays. The constellations, their ruling planets, and our Earth in a great synthesis of energies. And we want to understand this synthesis. We want to understand this synthesis, but not in any arbitrary way. Because, some people have thought, well, okay, Scorpio's rising sign indicates the power of the soul. You must be a fourth-ray soul. It can get that crude, that unsophisticated. So we have to understand some of the subtler factors. It relates our solar system to the larger whole and our tiny non-sacred planet to the solar system. Well, we're looking here at the double doge of the double diamond that's appearing around 6:10 of this book. Here we are. Take a look here, you see. And we have just an example of a ray on a pretty high level. Star in the Great Bear, Ray 1. Well, that might be a transmitting agent and might tell us something about the etheric body. If a center in the head, such as a star in the Great Bear, can transmit through a petal in the higher head center, we have kind of a reversal of direction, at least on the surface it appears so. Well, it goes through a triangle of energies and then to the sun and then to certain ruling planets of each one of the constellations, Mercury, Mars. We're not taking the hierarchical rulers, apparently, otherwise Uranus would be there. And then the Sun and Capricorn will give us Saturn. So this will be the line of descent, and this is pretty much what we're talking about, though later we will look at the parallels between this solar systemic, well, local cosmic setup, let's say, and the same kind of reflection, analogous reflection in man. So it relates our solar system to the larger whole, as we see. Here's the solar system and here's the larger whole. And our tiny planet to the solar system. And here it is, tiny planet, the other planets in the solar system and the solar system. Two diamonds, as it were, the Doge. Let me repeat that statement and thus indicate to you some vital facts anent this world of interweaving energies. And this is what DK is such a master at. He has the command of interweaving energies. And it is this which makes me think that the third ray, in a higher sense, is an important aspect of his nature. Maybe a monadic ray on the third ray, as there are two monadic rays, we have to look for the final monadic ray, and of that we cannot really speak. It may be logoic in nature. The rays pour through and are expressed by and are transmitted through the following constellations. But as I said, if the ray is coming from one of the stars in the Great Bear, how is it that in some way it seems superior to a constellation. Let's take a look at this Megrez. It's a fourth ray star. At least when we look at it from a great distance, the fourth ray seems involved. Other factors may be involved, we know, but we don't have a close-up of it. And that relatively small star, presumably in the head of the one about whom not may be said, passes through a great constellation, Scorpius, with some stars which are 2,000 light-years away and are of a great absolute magnitude, with Antares being a giant star. They dwarf Megrez by comparison, and yet it is said that the power of Megrez is the originating fourth ray source, and it will pass through Scorpio and other constellations secondarily as if it somehow controls them. So sometimes I think the tail is wagging the dog here, and maybe what we're talking about is passing through not so much the constellation but the sign within the aura of our planet, or maybe the signs within the aura of the sun, which are attuned to these great constellations. I think every planet has its own type of 12-fold zodiac surrounding it in Devic substance. And I really got the idea somehow from Alan Leo in his book Esoteric Astrology, which was written almost 100 years ago, about 96 years ago. It seems that the signs are associated with each one of the receptors, whether it's the Earth or the Sun, even. So when the ray enters the sign, then of course the ray is superior. But when a star like Megrez is passing through Taurus, the constellation Taurus, and Scorpius, and Sagittarius, those are immense beings, lords of constellations. So you kind of wonder how the lord of a star, a solar logos, can be in a superior position to many, many solar logoi and three great constellational logoi. This is my magnitude problem, and some people say, well, you're not thinking occultly, but I'm thinking reasonably, I hope. Because the magnitude, the absolute magnitude, both in light and power of some of these constellations is tremendous compared to the rather faint star Megrez, which gives us the fourth ray. But were Megrez, its energy to pass through lesser beings which are attuned to those higher constellations, then I could really see it. It would pass through something like the signs gathered around the sun and then go out to certain planets and then come to the Earth. So there are complications and difficulties here. The rays pour through and are expressed by and transmitted through the following constellations. So we'll look at those in just a moment. And I think here that we are familiar with this chart. Ray 1, Aries, Leo, Capricorn. And, you know, looked at in terms of the first, second, and third aspect of the ray, it's pretty obvious here that Aries carries the first aspect of Ray 1, Leo the second, and Capricorn the third. They have their association anyway with those three aspects. With the next one, Gemini, Virgo, Pisces, it's hard to say. Gemini is the head of the cosmic Christ. Virgo both Virgo and Pisces have a strong second ray. So which one represents more the third aspect? I mean, are they absolutely in order here? Because there is more of the second ray coming through Virgo at this time than through any other of these other constellations. Does Virgo really represent the second aspect. But Pisces could as well, though Pisces is related to the waters of space, which are matter. When it comes here to the third ray, I think, you know, the third aspect seems to come through Cancer, the second aspect through Libra, and the first aspect through Capricorn. It's hard to think of Cancer as a first aspect source. When we come here to ray four, if we wanted to look at the first, second, and third aspect, how would we do this? Taurus, of course, is ruled by Vulcan, but it's also the second sign, and Scorpio has a strong first ray connection with it and is the constellation of Hercules. Two of the signs which are considered rulers of cosmic decanates, and also sometimes called cosmic decanates themselves, are found in relation to ray four. And so this sense of the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, must be pretty strongly related to ray four, even though Mars, the ray six planet, is its expression. Well, Scorpio is the main distributor of ray four. Is it involved here? Is this the first aspect? Even though in order it's in the second position with Sagittarius, the vision, the Jupiterian sign in the second aspect, and Taurus, which we already know is connected with the Earth and with ray three, in the third aspect position, perhaps. I don't think I've ever done this before, tried to figure out the aspects of these, whether the first, second, or third aspect of divinity. When it comes to Leo, well, it is the dominating first ray sign. No first ray comes through any of the others. Maybe Leo is prominent and gives the first ray aspect of the fifth ray. Sagittarius, maybe the second, it seems reasonable. And Aquarius, which has its own association with the third ray, maybe the third aspect. When it comes to the sixth ray, well, it seems the most powerful of the six ray signs at the present time is Sagittarius. But when it comes, we have the same problem with the second and third aspects, because both Virgo and Pisces are associated with the second and third aspects. Is Sagittarius then the leading first ray aspect of the sixth ray? This is more difficult. When it comes to Aries, Cancer, and Capricorn, always I think, well, this is not easy. If we think of those triangles as each of them having a representation of the first, second, and third aspect, no question that Capricorn presently is in the leading position. But it's hard to connect Capricorn with the second aspect ever, although the mystery of the soul is unraveled in Capricorn, but there's nothing about Capricorn which suggests the second aspect. Because Cancer is ruled by the Moon, the fourth ray, and Neptune, sixth ray, perhaps, and therefore has a Buddhic plane association, it comes closer to the second aspect. Will Aries represent the first aspect of the seventh ray? It's hard to think of it as representing the third. As the lamb which is slain from the foundation of the world, it could represent the second aspect, but there's not much about this constellation which is that. I guess I'm tending to leave them in order here, but further examination is needed, and also an analysis of the way that the different aspects of the rays work. When it comes to the first ray, I have no doubt that Aries is representing the first aspect, Leo the second, and Capricorn the third. It could be similar here with the seventh ray. Probably it's the best choice as I can figure it out for the moment. So anyway, we are familiar with this setup and with the ruling planets, the hierarchical planets are not listed generally, at least not in those double diamond configurations, but I think there is a chart which lists all of the ruling planets, and that may be on page 590. Let's see if that is the case. 590. No, once again, we stop with the orthodox and esoteric planets. One just kind of wonders, is there another chart early on in the game which has all of the three rulers, the hierarchical ruler as well? There are charts around page 60, tabulations, which may have those. These are charts of relationship, which we have gone through. And here, all the three sets of rulers are shown, but the triangles are not shown. And DK did not mention hierarchical rulers and did not show them in the double diamond configuration. So it may be that there is no chart which shows the triangle and the three esoteric rulers, orthodox, esoteric, and hierarchical. We know what they are, of course, and just, you know, in a sense, reviewing. Let's see. Page 590. We see the triangle and two of the rulers. So we gather all these together and we find that through Mars, Mercury, the Sun, and Saturn, the first ray comes. When it comes to the second ray and its rulers, we leave out the hierarchical rulers. Of course, the ray would come also through the hierarchical rulers, but he apparently does not feel it's necessary to include them. With the second ray, Mercury, Venus, the Moon, Jupiter, and Pluto, strangely Pluto, all in a way transmit the second ray. We have enough complication without adding the hierarchical rulers, don't we? With the third ray, it comes through the Moon, Neptune, Venus, Uranus, and Saturn, five planets by which the third ray reaches us. With the fourth ray, it reaches us through Venus, Vulcan, Mars, Jupiter, and the Earth, again five planets. With the fifth ray, the Sun, Jupiter, the Earth, Uranus, four planets. And the sixth ray reaches us through, now remember, these are not ruling planets because they certainly reach us through the ray rulers, but these are orthodox and esoteric rulers of the constellations through which the ray is focused. Mercury, Moon, Jupiter, Earth, Pluto, five. I wonder, is there ever a time when there are six planets in the orthodox and esoteric? Mars, Mercury, Moon, Neptune, Saturn, five again for the seventh ray. Now, sometimes when we look at these planets, we don't think, goodness, why a Neptune, the seventh ray, is reaching us? Why a Saturn, the seventh ray as well? Or the Moon or Mercury or Mars? Because some of them are so unlike the seventh ray, we wouldn't think that there can be any flow-through given the nature of these planets and how different they are from the ray. Occasionally there is a close correspondence, and then I suppose the ray will come through the planet very powerfully. Let's just say, well, we've got the first ray, and it will come powerfully through Mars and through Saturn, and not so much through Mercury, but nevertheless through Mercury, you see. Well, I think we know how to make this tabulation work for us. And now, what does he say? Certain interesting facts emerge if this tabulation is carefully studied, and let me list some of them for you. In other words, other interesting facts could emerge, leaving you to apply the information as may seem best. I think every fine teacher has to learn not to tell all. And Master Moria said something to this effect, that to give all is to put on chains. It no longer has the individual, the receiving individual, exercise his own faculties. So that is the problem. Well, DK has given so much, but is very far from giving all, because we couldn't assimilate it for the, in the first place, and there would be no time to give it. This interrelation is effective in this world cycle, and will remain so until the end of the Aquarian Age, and we would have to ask, which Aquarian Age? Because there is a small precessional age and a large one of some 25,000 years. Is a world cycle then, can a world cycle be as small as a precessional cycle? And can the rays change that rapidly and pass through other constellations in just another 2,000 or so years? Or are we talking about an actual Platonic year cycle, 25,000 years, 25,920 by the normal calculations? By this I mean that these seven triangles of energy are today pouring their force through one of the constellations in each triangle. So maybe what he's trying to say is, and this would maybe be a little more reasonable, that there will be a revolution in the triangles after the age of Aquarius, and a different constellation will then be the main recipient and conduit for a particular ray energy. Well, we even see that happening right now. The fifth ray energy, which has been expressing itself through Leo, interestingly enough, and even is at this time, is changing to an expression through Aquarius. So in a sense, Aquarius is taking the predominant position in that triangle. Every time there is a predominant position, is it like ray one? Even though the constellation itself may be very, very different from ray one, Virgo seems to be in the predominant position of the second ray triangle, even though, in a sense, Gemini may be considered the major second ray sign, and perhaps Pisces as a cosmic decanate or a cosmic decanate ruler. All right. Today, the following points of the triangles of energy, or the following constellations in the triangles, are the controlling factors. So, you know, when you read what DK said here, it seemed to go in a different direction than what he explained later. The interrelation, this interrelation, what interrelation? Well, the ray through the three, or the ray through one of the three? And it looks like this interrelation, and by this he means the ray through one of the three constellations which constitute a triangle, is effective in this world cycle and will remain so until the end of the Aquarian Age. So that is quite reasonable, that the focus of a ray through a particular part of the usual ray triangle lasts for some 2,000 years. But it seems to me that if there were to be a shuffling of the constellations themselves and saying, well, the Aries, Leo, Capricorn triangle is no longer receiving ray 1 but some other ray, or that ray 1 is passing through three different constellations, that would be less likely and probably, if it does take place, would take place after a much longer period of time. It does seem, you know, when studying the constellations, that the rays which pass through them are very much attuned to what is happening with the constellations. You know, a second ray, we have Gemini as the relating factor between all pairs of constellations except itself and Sagittarius. When it comes to Virgo, it's birthing the Christ child on the second ray. When it comes to Pisces, it is the source of salvation through love and sacrifice and general self-effacement. It is putting others first before oneself, which is the great second ray thing to do. Maybe it is related to what all advanced souls may do. But those three constellations have a particular association with the second ray. And so it's hard to think of the second ray calling on other constellations and saying, now you are the triangle through which I work. It could work in a wisdom way through Taurus, a sacrificial way through Aries. Not much connection with Cancer except the Buddhic plane. Through Leo, because of consciousness, it's possible, and solar fire. Through Libra, well, you know, well, you begin to wonder whether you can't find a way for any ray to work through any constellation. I begin to think it's possible. There's always a connection, even with Capricorn, revealing the secret of the soul on the second aspect. With Aquarius, the sense of loving universality, yes, it could, it could. Well, maybe I have to take back what I just said. Maybe we could reshuffle the deck here, and we could get other constellations or a combination of the present one and others during some world period to be the major conduit for a particular ray. Everything is in mutability and mutation, and it must be very intricate, this law of mutation and how things are emphasized at any particular time. So I'm glad that DK offered this. By this I mean that these seven triangles of energy are today pouring their force through one of the constellations. And that particular one will probably change in the next world period, when a world period is considered as small as a processional age. Sometimes a world period seems to be a world period, the entire duration of a planet, or a round, or a root race. So that is one of the most blinded terms, and it succeeds in blinding the science of cycles. Today, the following points of the triangles of energy, or the following constellations of the triangles, are the controlling factor. Aries, this constellation, as might be expected, is the source of the initial energy producing the new age. There are other energies, of course. And what were they? There are, are other energies producing the new age. And if we remember, they were Leo and Virgo also. The individuals are emerging in the new age, and so are those who are developing the Christ consciousness. And of course, Aries is the impulsion. Virgo, this constellation produces the increased activity of the Christ principle in the heart of humanity, useful for the reappearance of the Christ and the externalization of the hierarchy, and for the emergence of the second ray soul of the planetary logos, which may be considered the second ray aspect of the anima mundi. Oop, animal man, anima mundi. Then there is cancer. Well, okay, this is switching perhaps as humanity is becoming the world disciple because, well, it'll say here, cancer, the mass movement towards liberty, release, and light, so dominant today, is caused by the energy of this sign, attempting to move out of the third aspect, through the will to evolve, perhaps, to move from the third aspect. But he'll explain later that the third aspect is really delivered to disciples by a Capricorn. The mass is very much involved in the personality which represents the third aspect, and they are not involved with the duality of soul and personality in their consciousness. There may be some worship of God and so forth, but the major focus of consciousness is within the world of the senses and the world of the personality, and so very much within the physical body. But liberty, release, and light, we can say there is a Neptune correlation with liberty. It's usually Uranian. Release, very Neptunian, and light, Neptunian again, and Uranian as well. Well, let's just say that Neptune, in its higher expression, is a planet which brings a freeing impulse, slipping away from prison and boundaries. You know, the classic escape artist, I'm thinking about Milarepa, I'm wondering about. They threw him in prison, and he would always be found outside prison in a very short time. There are many, many stories about this wonderful sage, even that he would fly here and there, and that from eating so many nettles, he turned green, well, greenish, or maybe his skin had a greenish pallor. Not sure whether this is literal or not, or eating the nettles seems to be to consuming the unpleasant factors of life. He's the great yogi saint of Tibet, and as I was reading his stories about him, it seems that he covered the second through fifth initiation in one life. Is that possible? Well, perhaps for someone who knows, whose monad is the first ray? It's impossible to tell there, but there are so many, maybe the stories grow and they say the legend grows. Ray 4 through Scorpio, through this constellation comes the testing of humanity, the world disciple, and the world wars are, or have been, testing humanity supremely. And, you know, will DK write somehow about the world war which occurred in stages from 1914 to 1945 and then later again in the teens of the 21st century? Well, certainly the war is raging on the inner planes between good and evil and between progression and retrogression. Leo is the sign. It brings in the fifth ray, which produces the growth of individualism and of self-consciousness so prevalent on a world scale. So this will give way to a more Aquarian application of the fifth ray. But what we have is the law of cleavages producing a cleavage between one human being and another, such that each perceives itself to be different, different, and even unique. The uniqueness factor is strong in Leo, especially when Uranus is connected with it. But a kind of ring-pass knot is drawn around the individual, and he says, "This is my boundary. this is what I am this and not that, this and not that. Later, with soul consciousness, the individual will say, I am this and that, and as much that as I am this. And with the oneness factor, there is no this and that. So Ray 5 is prominent today, but shifting towards Aquarius, as he will discuss. Ray 6, Sagittarius, the sign produces the focused, one-pointed effort of the world aspirant. There are many aspirants in the world, and all of human beings, in a way, the whole entire human race is considered an aspirant. Is this one of the truly prominent signs? It is certainly a sign which has much Ray 6 connected with it. It has this fiery, visionary, directed quality, which is very resonant with the sixth ray, the strongest of the six ray signs now. So we have fiery sixth ray idealism, burning with idealism. And that is seizing the mass in many respects as they, in a rather separative manner, champion their particular section of the globe, their nation, their religion, or even perhaps their own ideals, which are simply their own. Capricorn, the Capricornian energy, produces initiation and the overcoming of materialism, let's just say the movement towards the etheric body. In a way, the third ray is more materialistic than the seventh. The seventh can get caught in form, but the seventh has that connection with etherealization, with the etheric body. I suppose the third ray does too, but the third ray is more connected with the dense physical plane. Initiation is elevation, and the highest and the lowest will meet. And the highest and the lowest will meet. So it is in the seventh ray age that there will be an enlightened spiritual materialism, and so much of our conventional materialism will be overcome. So the review, Aries, mostly through Ray 1, mostly through Aries, Ray 2 at this time, mostly through Virgo, Ray 3, as far as the mass is concerned, mostly through Cancer, Ray 4 through Scorpio, Ray 5 through Leo, Ray 6 through Sagittarius, and Ray 7 through Capricorn. And does this do these foci tell us something about the times in which we live? Well, something new is happening. It's being impelled, and we're entering the new age, Ray 1. The Ray 2, Virgo, the birth of the Christ consciousness, is burgeoning in many. Ray 3, the mass which has been blind, is moving now towards greater freedom. The 3 and the 6 are much connected. The Neptune idealism is there. And there is a movement towards education and evolution, and the mass is on the move. Ray 4, everybody's fighting. Scorpio, there's a great conflict within man and within the different human groups. Will the lower, the high prevail? Ray 5, the individual is distinctive, and many of those who think of themselves as distinctive individuals who have their own way, their own unique way, are merging. Ray 6, there is aspirational idealism in the individual, in the aspirant, and in humanity as reaching for something higher and not content with this present state. And Ray 7, through Capricorn, initiation is on its way. I guess these 7 really tell us something about the quality of our times. And later, maybe after the age of Aquarius, when the triangle may revolve and the ray may work through a different constellation, perhaps the times will be very different, and the coming of the rays through different constellations will give us a qualitative understanding of the times through which we are living at that distant time. It will be noted in this tabulation that several of the constellations find themselves in one or more of the triangles of energy. And what will this show? Well, we'll get on to that. I think we are pretty much at the point. Why don't we say the great invocation here and call this the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 125A, and we are on page, are we still on 490? We are. We're on page 490, and either this will be either 125B, page 490, or 126A, depending. It's getting late here. And this is the sixth program done today. I wish I could do eight a day. That would be the way to do it, but one could become quite fatigued to doing that, and the quality of thought might diminish. There are cycles during the day when there's greater illumination and perhaps less at certain times. So let us, let's see how this looks. No, that's not what we're going to want. We're going to want this one. So we'll use the note G. A blue note, I believe. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men, let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men, may Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Oh. 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 Okay, friends, we have some interesting things ahead of us. Whether it's going to be 125 or 126, we'll see. And we will go on and note some of the interesting factors about this chart of the rays and the triangles of constellations through which they work. Having noted that the particularly strong signs at this time, in a larger sense, through which each ray works, tell us something quite important about the times through which we are passing, our moment in history. Okay, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.